Claro, a ver.
So on the day, in accordance with the Tamil calendar, the year 1365, all full moon will be observed. And according to the English calendar, in the year 2004, on the 6th January, at the present Seattle has to take turns to preach today on the discourse. So, in accordance with Buddha's teaching, Seattle likes to give such a master leave on one stanza. This one stanza is, as for the yogis who are all the time meditating, will suffice to those who are not meditating well, and for the wide awakened ones who will suffice to the sleeping ones. So it's just like swift and strong horse will advances to the weak and lame horse and weakly desire. So based on this stanza, Charo like to give a discourse. So explain, there are yogis who are noting or practicing the Satipatthana Dhamma practice with due respect, and they are noting continuously. As they are having a very respectful on the methods, and the noting are continuous, and as they are the heedful ones, then they are the one who make an effort to be able to note to all the, even to the minute behavior. For example, like from the sitting to the standing, standing to the walking, there is not a miss, but they are having the continuity of noting all the time. But contrary to these kind of diligent yogis, there are yogis who just take laxly or casually in noting in this Dhamma practice. But while they are doing the sitting meditation, they just do the sitting meditation casually and superficially. And also while they are doing the walking meditation too, they are not mindful. All the while they may be gazing or stopping or thinking or imagining, etc. So they become as a negligent yogi who is compared to the diligent yogi, they will be the one who will be left behind. But for the yogi who is noting continuously from one moment to another, the preceding noting are continuous with the succeeding noting, and all day long they are noting. Their noting is in a continuum of line, so that because of their respectful noting, then they will surpass to the weak and the negligent yogi. So Tiara explained that for all the yogis now who have already experience of meditating over 1 month, and now they are in the 2nd month. So during this period, Tiara noticed there are yogis who are really diligent, and they are noting very well, and they are advancing in the practice. And there are moderate kind of yogis who sometimes noting and sometimes not. And there are negligent yogis who are not noting respectfully. While they are sitting, they will be thinking here and there. While they are walking, they will be gazing here and there and not noting attentively to the footsteps. So when they are noting in that disrespect manner, whether they are sitting or in the walking, instead they will be thinking, imagining and speculating, so they will be left behind to the diligent yogi. So as for the diligent yogi, they are always noting continuously day by day. So naturally, they have accumulated wisdom through the Satipatthana practice, and with as the advances in the wisdom, they are the one who supersedes the weak and the lame or the negligent yogi. So Sarah says that's why still there is 3 weeks, about 3 weeks or 21 days more to go for your practice. Sarah wants every yogi to note with due respect, noted due respect to the method as well while to the Dhamma practice. And if you are doing so, surely you will be attaining vipassana wisdom or jnana step by step till you reach the goal. So Cheryl has seen that there are some yogis who do it seriously in the sitting meditation and the walking meditation, but they are careless in the noting daily activities and other times. So Cheryl says it shouldn't be so, because not only in the sitting and the walking meditation, the meditators should have a careful and respect noting, not only in this walking and sitting, but while noting or observing your daily activities as well, or when you are doing the other works as well. So every noting is important, so much so that we mustn't even miss, even for a small noting like when we are opening and closing our eyes. So much so that we should have a due respect to the method as well when we are noting in the noting stamina. So if we are noting in that way, we will be advancing in our practice. But contrary to this kind of noting, there are yogis, instead of accumulating strong sati concentration, strong sati of mindfulness, strong effort or energy, and strong samadhi or concentration, then because of the laxity or superficial or casualty in the noting, they cannot accumulate jnana or wisdom. But for the diligent yogi who are noting with strong mindfulness, effort and concentration, they are the one who are accumulating stage by stage of jnana or wisdom in vipassana practice. So Sarah has seen there are some yogis who have been spending the time quite a lot in this practice. For example, they have spent 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 7 months, etc. But however long, the time period is long, but the accumulation of the Dhamma strength or the Dhamma wisdom is not yet accumulated. When they were seen or observed by the teachers while they are taking the walking meditation, very lax and superficial. And also in the sitting meditation too, when they come to report about their experience, they have nothing to report, because no substance was found in the practice because of the superficial noting. So that's why this kind of yogi cannot report what is their findings and how they progress in the meditation. But there are some yogis who came late. Although they come late, but because of the strenuous effort in the practice with due respect, then they are accumulating strong sati mindfulness, strong concentration, and strong effort. With that kind of strong effort, mindfulness and concentration in one, within a short time, they are accumulating the wisdom. So much so that when they come in for interview to report about the experience, they have been describing day by day how they progress in the insight knowledge, and the teachers were very happy to hear about it. So what Sarah wants to remind is the time factor is not important. The important factor is how you pay respect to this method and how you did or done diligently in this practice is more important. That's why even though in a short time there are yogis who have accumulated the vipassana wisdom step by step, so they are like the strong horse who is very strong and swift, and as for that horse, he will reach to the finishing line in a short time, but for the lame and weak horse, he will be left behind. They are just like the meditators who are meditating in a progress like a snail. They go very, very slowly, slowly, and they are gazing here and there, talking at times when they have time to, and also when they are noting in the sitting meditation too. Although they are sitting, their noting is superficial, not diligent, not deep. So that's why they are like the lame horse who is always left behind. So Sarah says, if you know yourself, then you must determine to yourself that, why should I be late? I must be able to reach to the goal or the finishing line just like the others. So if you have that kind of determination, then of course you can reach to your goal within a short time. But unless otherwise, if you cannot make that kind of effort, then you will be still left behind like the weak and the lame horse. So Sarah says, to every yogi, to be able to reach to your destination or to your final goal, then make it a determination that, why should I be late? I must reach them like others, or maybe if you can advance them and reach to the goal earlier than others. So the next comparison is like the wide awake people were always surpassed to the sleepy people, or in this case, wide awake meditators were surpassed to the sleepy meditators. So during the daytime, we shouldn't sleep. So in the daytime, we must do alternate of 1 hour sitting and 1 hour walking, and not only in that walk and sit, but also at our standing position too, we must note it to be continuous all day long. That is, before we sit, or sometimes as we stood up from the sitting to the standing, and before we proceed with the walk. So likewise, all day long, we mustn't miss a note, but we must be noting during the daytime continuously. So when we come to the night time, starting from 6 p.m. So in accordance with the Buddha's teaching, the night time is divided into three divisions or three parts. From 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., this is called the early night or the first watch of the night. This first watch of the night is, we must be noting continuously as usual, like sitting, walking, standing, or whatever we are doing too, we must be noting all the time continuously for this 4 hours. So from 10 p.m. to 2 p.m. is the middle watch of the night. So during that middle watch of the night is, according to Buddha's teaching, Buddha told to all the bhikkhus, this is the time for them to sleep. But when we go on to our bed to lie down, we have to lie down with mindfulness or noting mind, to lie down on our right side, with the right side down lying on the bed, and on the left foot, on the right foot, it must be overlapped with the left foot, which is a little beyond, overlapping on the right foot. And while we are overlapping and lying on that, lying on that right side or on the side position, then we must have sati samasinya. That is, we must have mindfulness with clear comprehension what we are doing or what we are noting. That clear comprehension at that time is, while we are preparing, lying on the right side, lifting up our left foot, overlapping on the right foot, the upper one, left foot, a little in front of the right foot, and as we are making our clothes and putting our blankets and etc., we must do it all with sati samasinya, with clear comprehension and mindfulness. So when we have already lie down, then we must note everything. Whatever you like, you can note. Whether you are noting your lying position as lying, or lying touching, or rising, falling, or whatever you like, you can note till you've fallen asleep. So before you've fallen asleep, in your mind, we must make a determination that at 2 a.m. I must get up. So in the early days, all the bhikkhus, they didn't have watch. So because of the predetermination in the mind, then the yogis are able to get up at 2 a.m. So if you have made up that kind of mind, your mind will surely wake up at that time at 2 a.m. But in this center, we have to wake up at 3 a.m. And to arouse all the meditators, the bhikkhu have hit the gong very loud to make them rise from the bed. So that's why before we go to bed too, we must make in our mind that I will get up at 2 a.m. If you sleep that way, you sure will get up at 2 a.m. So starting from 3 a.m. till morn, then till the morning, then this, the last part of the night is also termed as last watch of the night. So at 3 a.m. we got up. So as soon as you are awake, then start with your noting as knowing, or awake, or whatever way you like, you note it. So from thence and onwards, you note it as before you prop up your body, propping up, bringing up to yourself to the sitting, folding your blankets and etc. while you are making up your bed and all the other, changing your clothes, going to the toiletries, washing your face, etc. There are many things to be noted, and you note as you proceed with your actions. And from that time too, starting from 3 a.m. onwards, just like in the daytime, we have to continue our noting with walking, standing, and sitting, so much so that we won't let any kind of nivarana or hindrances to step into the line of your consciousness. So if you have made that kind of determination that no nivarana or any kind of hindrances mustn't disturb in my mindfulness, then you are able to note continuously in the early morning from sitting, standing, and walking, and etc. So during that last watch of the night, if you are noting continuously too, then you are not letting any kind of hindrances to set into the stream of your consciousness. So that is the kind of yogi who are fully awake, or white awakened yogi. So for this kind of white awakened yogi, who will surpass and reach to the destination to the sleeping yogis?
Yes, Abhiyagali.
So in accordance with the Buddha's teaching, Buddha allowed all his bhikkhus to sleep 4 hours, and 4 hours sleep is enough for all the healthy yogis. So during the time of the Lord Buddha, there were great bhikkhu who never lie down in the bhikkhu's lifetime. So by looking forward to how they were diligently practicing, then we should follow their footsteps. How inspiring to the diligence practice the great people have done during the time of the Lord Buddha. So they never lie down, even at the sleeping hours between 10 and 2 p.m., they never lie down even at that sleeping time. They will just continue their meditation, standing and walking. So all the full 24 hours, they have been noting without sleep or without lying down is not only for one night, not only for a month, not only for a year, but several years, many years, they never lie down and they never sleep. So, Chara says, as for the yogis now in this meditation center, our sleeping hours are more than the great people during the time of the Buddha. If you know that you have slept for 6 hours, you should reduce to 5 hours. If we have slept for 5 hours, we should reduce to 4 hours. So if, as for the yogis who are noting as soon as they are awake, then they are the diligent yogi. But there are yogis who said they cannot sleep at night time and they are not sleeping at all. But instead of staying in with mindfulness, but if their mind is craving for all the sensual pleasures like from the visible object, to the sensual sounds, to the smell, taste, touch, etc., then if the yogi is thinking or longing to meet with all these sensual pleasures, then this yogi is not in a meditative mind. He or she is in a negligent state, following or drifted away with the sensual flow of the sensual pleasures. Or there are some yogis, if you are thinking how to hurt other people with ill will, or how to harm others with from your mind, some with vyabhata or ill will, and some with vihinsa or harming other people. If you have that kind of vitaka or discursive thinking in your mind time and again, then that is the time that yogi is negligent, not noting, not heedful in noting in satipatthana practice. So although they are awake, then they cannot be considered as an heedful or diligent meditators. So Sarah gave some illustrations how inspiring the great bhikkhus during the time of the Lord Buddha, how they persevere in the practice without lying down, without sleep. So as we all have heard about Sri Rahula, who was the son of the Lord Buddha, and also another great bhikkhu named Sri Ratapala, who came from a very rich family. He also was a very diligent bhikkhu. So for those two bhikkhu, without lying down, without sleep, they strive in the meditation continuously for 12 years. So Sierra says how surprising it is and how inspiring for us to follow the footstep. And another great person is Sri Ananda, who was the personal attendant of the Lord Buddha, who was also the half-brother of the Lord Buddha, born at the same time as the Lord Buddha. And how inspiring to learn about him was, he never lied down and continuously he dwelled in his meditative mind was for 15 years. And another greater person who also strived in more years was the great Shin Sonaka. He strived for 18 years. And another great person was Chinsariputra, who was the right-hand disciple of the Lord Buddha, or he should be termed as Agasavaka, great disciple, or the right-hand great disciple of the Lord Buddha. Except from the Lord Buddha, Chinsariputra was the one who held the great wisdom incomparable by anyone. Apart from the Lord Buddha, he was the greatest in this world in holding the wisdom. And another one is the left-hand disciple named Shimhamoggallana, Who hold time only for a few months. So why shouldn't we be able to keep our mind awakened by sleeping only for 4 hours? Of course, if you can compete like the others without lying down, and if you can note continuously all along for the few months or the 2 months, this is great. But if you still need sleeping hours, you can rest for 4 hours sleep, and then you make a diligent noting. So Ciara explained there are some, there are other bhikkhus who spend 4 years without lying down. The another great bhikkhu name is Sri Anuruddha. He spent 50 years striving in this meditation without lying down. So Sri Anuruddha was also the cousin brother of the Lord Buddha, and he spent 50 years without sleep, without lying down. And another bhikkhu name was Shimbakula, who have spent for 80 years without lying down and without sleep. Then he has been striving in this meditation. So this Shimbakula was the one who got a special quality, freeing from disease. How he was healthy was he didn't even catch a cold. He was so healthy. And that Shimbakula have spent for 80 years without lying down. And another great bhikkhu who have spent without lying down or without sleep was Shimahakasapa, who spent for 120 years in meditative mind without lying down, without sleep. And another great bhikkhu name is Shinalaka. Since he attained the arahatship, till he reached to his pre-nirvana, or till he reached to his final goal, then he never lied down, he never slept. So by listening to all these inspiring great bhikkhus, at least we should check ourselves that if our sleep hours is much or more, then if it is more, we have to lax it and we have to reduce it. So if we can check ourselves, if our sleeping hours are more than we need it, we should reduce it. And not only we should reduce our sleeping hours, but while we are meditating too, we must be so diligent that we shouldn't let any tinamita or any thought and talker to set into your mindfulness practice. But if you are carried away with sleepiness and drowsiness, or thoughts and talker, or if you are noting casually or superficially, then there will be no progress in your Dhamma practice. But contrary to these kind of yogis, if the yogis are diligent, if they are, even if they slept, they are sleeping diligently as well, while they are noting continuously all day long from the moment they wake up, then if they are practicing so, they will be accumulating vipassana wisdom step by step. Then once you reach to the highest attainment of vipassana wisdom, and in the next step you will enter to nibbana. So to reach to our goal, it is our duty to strive with diligently, and we must produce much effort. Not only with much effort, our noting must be continuous too. The preceding and the succeeding noting must be continuous till we fall asleep from the moment we wake up. So not only in that way we must be diligent, as soon as we notice ourselves that we feel lazy or negligent, we must reduce this kind of attitude within ourselves. As well, we must wake up ourselves all the while. We must have the wide awakened mind. As well, we must have the diligent practice. So if we can practice in that diligent manner, then surely you will reach the goal within the short time. So if you can do it, so you could rejoice to your self-diligence, and Sarah will also appreciate, and Sarah is happy to say that may you all be able to reach to that goal with strong diligence practice. Now we come to the conclusion.